Welcome to Gold Star Classroom, the podcast where our panelists go back to school. We'll grade them on their answers to a variety of general knowledge and trivia questions. They don't know what we're going to ask, and we don't know what they're going to say. The student with the highest grade at the end of the class will win the coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana. I'm your host and headmaster, Professor Jerry Jaffe. All right, welcome to today's episode of Gold Star Classroom. I'm your host and headmaster, Dr. Jerry Jaffe, and it is my pleasure to welcome today's students. Sitting directly across from me is a former writer for The Tonight Show and headlining comedian, Chili Chalice.
Thank you. Hello, Doctor.
Thank you, Chili. Thanks for coming to class today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Sitting on my left is a musician extraordinaire and the voice of the Black Local Roco, Jeff Gettert.
Hello.
Hello.
It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. And on our right is the world's most highly educated professional wrestler.
Emeritus.
Emeritus, the great Dr. Jerry Graham Jr.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Dr. Graham, didn't you used to be big?
I'm still big. Wrestling has gotten small.
5 points for Dr. Graham.
Yes, really.
Five points for Dr. Graham. It is my job as your teacher to ask you questions from across the breadth and width of human learning. The breadth and width of human learning, and as any good teacher would, to grade your answers.
Oh.
And I'll keep track of your grades, and at the end of the class, the student with the highest marks will win the coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana. Are you students ready?
Yeah.
I just want to say that I'm still big, too. Comedy's gotten small.
Okay. Jeff, how about...
I've never been big.
Just Local Roco has gotten smaller.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let me ask... We're going to begin in the realm of American history. And here's a phrase. If you've heard it, tell me what it means or tell me what you think it means. Have you ever heard of the curse of Tippecanoe?
Well, Tippecanoe and Tyler, too, was... A battle took place in Indiana, and it had something to do, I'm not a real expert on this, but canoes tipped over and caused them to lose the battle, as I understand it.
Anyone wish to agree or disagree, if you're brave enough, with Dr. Graham's answer, or add to it before I confirm or deny anything that he said?
I can confirm there was a rhyme involved.
A couple, in fact.
Blasted me out of the water. Too much detail.
Is this anywhere near Tip City? Are we talking about Tip City?
There was a battle, and it was in Indiana, although that was before Indiana was a state. It was a territory. And Tippecanoe and Tyler, too, was a campaign slogan. For which president?
Grover Cleveland.
Tyler.
William Henry Harrison.
Oh, close enough.
I suspect Tyler was his running mate. And William Henry Harrison was known for one of the things he was known for was the Battle of Tippecanoe. That was part of the Indian Wars in settling the Indiana province.
It was called Tippecanoe, why?
I will tell you why. That's a fantastic question. Not because any canoe was tipped over, however. There's actually something called the Tippecanoe River. And is where the battle took place.
So this comes
a settlement.
From an Indian word. There's no actual canoe.
Sometime a canoe tipped over, they would not have called that the Tippecanoe River.
That could well be true. Who was then Governor Harrison battling? The famous Native American leader was involved in that, on the other side of that battle.
Chief Thunderthud.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't Geronimo.
There goes the only Indian I knew.
Native American.
Sorry.
Mahatma Gandhi.
Pontiac. I'll just throw Pontiac out there.
Tecumseh was like rallying the Native American troops, and they had a settlement.
Wasn't he a rabbi in Indianapolis?
That was later.
That was later.
He decided to change his ways.
Tecumseh was like the political military leader, and actually his brother, who is less famous, was also involved. He was the spiritual leader of the group. Anyone know his brother's name for bonus points?
I think you better bring the scale of.
Can we have multiple choice?
Difficulty down here. You're going to ask three guys. I said the world's most highly educated, Russell, not the smartest.
We didn't get Tecumseh. You think we're going to get his brother?
I'm a lot better at South American history.
Oh, I know all about Tecumseh's brother. I just didn't know Tecumseh. Very good. He gets points for that one.
Okay. And now the students are giving each other points.
Yeah, you can have some points, too.
Thank you. You don't get any points.
Yeah.
Tenskwatawa is Tecumseh's brother.
Oh, tip on my tongue. Oh, right there.
Tenskwatawa.
Right there. I just wrote it down. His
brother was Tenskwatawa.
Yes. And Jeff has that tattooed on his back as well. He just forgot.
I've got the Tenskwatawa bet. That's right. Little tramp stamp
okay.
back there.
Well, and in the Battle of Tippecanoe, Harrison ordered the forces to destroy the Indian settlement.
Who was Tyler?
Tyler was later his running mate.
Okay. Oh, so he was Tippecanoe, nicknamed because of the battle.
Yes.
And Tyler was the Al Gore.
There we go. Somebody's talking sense.
We bring us back to the original question. There is something called the Curse of Tippecanoe.
Which is the outcome of the election didn't go as...
Well, he won because he was elected
president.
But
he died in office.
We're getting there, friend.
Uh-oh.
William Henry Harrison did, in fact, die in office.
Was he assassinated or he just got sick?
Pneumonia.
He was killed by a canoe.
Tipped over in the river and he drowned.
Yeah, Tip City. Now he
wrestled
He did die in office, and it has been suggested that the spiritual brother of Tecumseh put a curse on him. But he didn't just put a curse on him. He put a curse that carried forward. And that is the heart of the Curse of Tippecanoe.
So it's an actual curse. It's not even just a turn of phrase or
something.
Well,
let's call it an urban legend, because we can't be certain now so many years later exactly what happened. But people who talk about the curse nowadays will claim that
it was a curse because he died. A man named John Cognier discovered the Hope Diamond in India, brought it back to the civilized world, and as everybody owned it, died. Jack Kennedy owned it when he was assassinated. But, you know, people that didn't own the Hope Diamond also were cursed. I don't take much stock in curses.
I don't.
5 points.
Okay. Well,
John Baptiste Carnier. He claimed to have run 48 hours straight to avoid the natives after he stole the diamond out of the idol's forehead. That's
I think 100 points for appropriate skepticism. The Gold Star classroom is in no way endorsing curses by bringing one up. But this is a curse that has run through America.
There was a woman on an airplane had a huge diamond on her ring. The woman next to her said, "What's that diamond?" She said, "That's the Plotnik diamond." She says, "The Plotnik diamond?" She says, "It has a horrible curse on it." He says, "What?" He says, "Mr. Plotnik."
Okay, minus 5 points.
Okay. I'm going to give you an important clue. Does anyone remember or guess what year William Henry Harrison was elected president?
1840,
sir. 1840.
Wow. 5 points for close.
Wow.
I have no.
Okay, but let me ask you this question.
Yes,
in 1860, a mere 20 years later,
Abraham Lincoln.
What happened to Abraham Lincoln?
Got assassinated.
In office.
He
didn't get to see the finish to our American cousin.
That's the curse of Tippecanoe. You don't get to see the finish of plays. 1880, who was president?
Ulysses S. Grant.
James A. Garfield.
Got it.
And what happened to James A. Garfield?
Assassinated in office.
Correct.
Oh, I win.
We're getting a pattern here, man.
Every 20 years, what happens?
The
apparently.
President gets assassinated. Well, Kennedy was 1960. We're up to...
Well, remember, Harrison died of pneumonia. But yes, the curse of Tippecanoe is supposedly that presidents elected every 20 years will die in office.
Well, that hasn't happened. So your curse hasn't even superstitious people. Kennedy was the last one to die in office.
Well, medicine's gotten better.
Well, there's something to say about that, actually. I will say Kennedy elected in 1960, 1940.
FDR,
1920, Warren G. Harding, and 1900, McKinley, all died in office. So there was a streak of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 presidents who died every 20 years.
By the way, you're right. Penicillin ruined Social Security.
You're supposed to save the extra trivia for the extra credit portion of the show.
I forgot. I'm 67 years old. I could be senile. I could have forgotten.
Who was president in 1980?
Ronald Reagan, and he was shot by, is it Sirhan?
No. The Jody Foster guy.
Hinckley?
Hinckley.
So if Hinckley had had better aim,
yes, we could continue also, the streak. But also, modern medicine could be what broke the streak, as you were saying.
He almost died on the table, they said. That he was in bad shape, worse shape than people thought, because he went to the hospital in a car rather than an ambulance.
In fact, in the 1979 election, both presidents, our debates leading up to the election, both presidential candidates, Reagan and Carter, were asked about if they feared the curse of Tippecanoe.
Hmm. And Tyler, too.
That's not part of the curse. And
well, it should be, because it's in there somewhere.
I will add as well, in the year 2000, which would have been the next increment, who was elected president?
George Bush, George W.
George W. Bush, who also was the target of a genuine assassination attempt that was foiled. So again, people who subscribe to this urban legend still see it as a continuing
threat. Okay, but I never heard about that. So does it mean it took us until the year 2000 to actually think it's a bad idea to publicize these assassination attempts, to realize that the media shouldn't be reporting this and encouraging further behavior? Did it take us that long to figure it out?
As I tally your score, which I can do on one hand at this point, I am reminded of
the new kid's fault.
Of the great Nelson Mandela, who said, "Education is the most powerful weapon with which you can use to change the world."
He's right.
At this point, we've only got a half Nelson going, unfortunately. A little wrestling-themed humor on your honor, Dr. Graham.
I'd say a three-quarter Nelson. If we get the right president here, we can move up to a three-quarter Nelson.
And if my manager was here, we'd be winning.
I'm expecting your manager to run in behind me and hit me with a chair at any moment. So it seems that being president can be a dangerous job, but I wonder, what is the most dangerous job? And I have here, from Forbes magazine, quoting the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the 10 most dangerous jobs in the United States. How many of them can you name?
Lumberjack.
Tightrope walker.
Bridge painter.
Lumberjack is, in fact, the number one answer, gold star to Jeff Gettert. I will say, you said bridge painter.
Yeah, thinking Golden Gate Bridge.
Anything to do with bridges should be correct.
Yeah, well, there's a category for that. I was trying to think
anything
of what...
Anything with bridges should be a correct answer.
Yes.
Bridges doesn't have its own separate category. But number 10 is construction workers, and number 5 is structural workers.
I get points for that?
He gets both.
Yes.
All right.
So we have the most dangerous job plus a couple of other ones on the list.
Texas death matches inside a steel cage with Dick the Bruiser.
No question. No question.
Sword swallower. No pun intended.
None taken.
With a serrated edge.
Yes. Any other guesses? We have 7 more if we can name them.
Well, we can.
Sure you can. Put your brain power to it.
Policeman?
I'm glad you guessed that, sir, because...
It's not.
It's not.
Believe it or not.
Believe it or not, police and other...
You know why I can tell you that?
Why is that?
Because it gets back to the old man bites dog. If you get shot going home tonight and robbed, it'll be on the front page of the paper.
Yeah.
No, it won't be. It'll be on the second page. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Wrong. If a policeman gets shot, it's such outstanding news that it goes on the front page of the paper because it happens so rarely. And I mean, and I respect the police. The police protect us. The police do a job. But I think most people, the criminals fear the police. The good guys respect the police. And I think for this reason that they're not attacked that much. Plus, you know, they got a gun and they got the right to use it. So I don't think that's that dangerous of a job. There is some, always something that's going to pop. They're in danger. But to actually be injured, I see there's a lot of jobs more dangerous. But the risk is always there for a policeman. But
it gets a lot of media attention.
Yeah.
So if only like the bakers or somebody.
When a policeman gets shot, that's when the man bites the dog.
Yes. And again, it's not that it's not full of potential danger. Of course, they do. Emergency responders do a very important job.
Stale donuts.
But it just turns out to not be as dangerous as these other jobs that we would mention,
including firefighters.
Well, in 2012. there were 119 law enforcement on-the-job deaths, and only 40 of those were homicides. And for firefighters, it was 18 deaths on-the-job deaths.
What were the, if all the rest was homicide, what, did they have heart attacks and stuff on the job, or natural causes?
The number one cause of deaths on the job...
For policemen.
For all occupations, is transportation-related injuries. Okay. Car accidents and other...
Wow. So the big question is, do I get any points for asking police officers?
You get 10 insight points for bringing us to an interesting side point.
All right, I'll take it. I'll take it. I need them.
I will say numbers 2, 3, and 4, I at least want to make sure we get out because it's all sort of interesting and surprising that these jobs are so dangerous.
How about anybody that's wearing a red uniform on Star Trek?
that's the worst.
They die.
He gets double points for that.
That should be something. We're talking real jobs.
You give me a red shirt and I'm resigning.
It's like I can't go down. I got a cough.
Mr. Custer, do I have
I'll
to go today?
Yeah,
I have the day off today, Mr. Custer. I don't feel
allergic to arrows.
I mean, because accidents and... driving accidents are the main causes of deaths on the job.
How about military?
The military are not put into this Bureau of Labor Statistics. I'm not 100% sure why. They just have their own set of statistics.
Well, I'll be willing to bet they have the highest rate of mortality. I bet you more soldiers are killed than any of my profession. Military people.
Truck drivers.
Well, I will tell you, for loggers...
They die from venereal disease, usually.
That's an occupational hazard. Yeah. But drivers and truck drivers are number 8 on the list. That is one of the answers.
So transportation is a recurring theme here. Nicely done.
And the other recurring theme, which applies to lumberjacks and loggers, actually, is gravity.
They fall out of the tree.
Tightrope walkers.
Tightrope walkers.
I said that first. I said tightrope.
We've been pitching that for a few minutes now.
Sorry, I just woke up.
Or being a Walendo.
Yes, any of the less amazing members of their family. Number 4, roofers. Number 3.
That's because they do bad jobs. If the guy did a mile, I killed him.
That does not constitute an actual confession, law enforcement workers. Number 3, aircraft pilots and flight engineers.
Why? They crash planes.
They
I was going to fly
off
fly to
gravity.
Florida.
Yeah. Goes back to gravity.
Don't tell me that. I'm flying to Florida Monday.
You don't need to hear this.
Most of those are related to private aircraft, actually.
Oh, okay.
Commercial airline crashes are themselves statistically very, very rare.
That's the dog.
Don't
the
tell that
dog
to
dog
Malaysian Airlines. Yeah. It's every other day.
For them. But number 2 is also surprising, maybe like lumberjacks would be for some people, fishery workers and boat fishers.
That is
the second most dangerous job.
Dangerous catch.
Yes,
so it's
exactly.
Right there. It's right there
on the open seas, not like in the pool of fish that they're breeding.
You're not like at a carnival where you're dipping out the
goldfish.
And you're dying there.
There were 227 goldfish-related deaths at carnivals last year. I've been told as a teacher that I should provide my students with more positive feedback to reinforce their self-esteem rather
Please
than...
Please do.
Yeah, you beat us into the ground, so bring us back a little bit.
Can I take off this dunce cap?
No.
Oh.
So I have here a
I
list of
it,
101 random nice. Ways Thank to you. Praise your students. So I would just like to take this opportunity to say to you guys, hip hip hooray!
Thank you. My captain.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Graham, you were requesting a question that was more in your wheelhouse of knowledge.
Uh-oh, here comes the wrestling.
Here's a question I know you can all get right.
I requested this question?
No, you requested a question you could answer.
Oh, okay.
And that question would be, where were you born?
I was too young to remember, but they tell me Flower Hospital, Toledo, Ohio.
At the hospital. This is a trick question.
10 points for Dr. Graham. Chile. Where were you born?
Jewish Hospital, Cincinnati, Ohio.
10 points for Chile.
Proud of it.
Mr. Gettert?
Don't recall.
Mm-hmm.
I am told it was Toledo Hospital.
Toledo Hospital in Toledo, Ohio?
Toledo, Ohio. That's the correct, not in Spain.
10 points for you. Now the follow-up question. Have you, or when was, the last time you visited the place you were born?
Well, they tore it down. I can't. The old Flower Hospital was torn down over on Collingwood. I can't. But before that, I never delivered visited the place I was delivered.
Well, to make the question, I like the accuracy and specificity of your answer, so 10 points for you. But let me back up and give you a little perspective. We can just go by, like, Cincinnati, Toledo, mm-hmm. Louisville. If you've been back to the town where
the... Well, I live in the town I was born, so therefore...
The implication is yes.
Yeah.
You have been back
to the place. I mean, it's cheating because I didn't move. I mean, I have lived in other cities, but mostly I'm here.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. You said a very important thing it's going to push this conversation forward.
What's that?
You said you haven't moved.
Okay, because you're in Toledo, but the Earth is going around the sun. Therefore, the exact place, you know, relative to the Milky Way where you were born, is the place you have not visited.
If you study Alpha Centauri in relation to the Taurus, the bull, you'd see there's a direct arrow pointing to the point Earth where I was.
He is here. Big sign out there.
Birthplace of Dr. Graham.
I thought these were supposed to be easier questions.
Well, the easy question was if you knew where you were born.
Oh, okay.
Do I
get any points for that?
Yes, you did. Oh, everyone got 10 points.
Oh, okay.
Assuming the place you said was correct, I can't fact check that.
As long as you don't ask us the name of the ball players on the Toledo Mudhens, I think we'll be safe. Oh.
Now, who are the ball players on the Toledo Mudhens?
Oh, no.
What Mr. Getter was getting at is, I have a list here of five different ways the Earth is moving.
It's rotating, it's going around the sun, the...
Wait, slow down, Action Jackson.
Sorry.
Let's start with the rotating. Yes, the Earth is rotating.
Uh-huh.
How fast is it rotating?
Pretty fast. 24
hours a day.
Correct. One rotation per 24 hours. 10 points for Dr. Graham for outsmarting the question. The Earth spins at approximately 1 kilometer per 2 seconds, or 1,000 miles per hour. So right now, sitting here in the classroom, you are traveling at 1,000 miles per hour.
And the Earth is 25,000 miles, roughly, circumference around the equator.
24 point something something, yeah. But yeah, wow. That is correct. You mentioned orbiting. The Earth is orbiting around the sun. That is correct. How fast is the Earth
moving?
Thank
goodness I got that one right.
Yes.
Tell them how fast it's orbiting.
Yeah, Jeff. Dr. Graham is tired of carrying you.
He's carrying you. Very well. Yeah,
every 365 days.
Exactly.
Yeah, it goes around. Yeah.
And a quarter. 365 and a quarter days.
According to the Jewish calendar, that's not quite right, but we don't want to get too deep here.
Oh. Yes. to give you a number, you know, when we talk astronomy, numbers get big fast. I will say, one way to think about it is every 3 days, the Earth travels 7 million miles. And if you broke that down into a speed, you're traveling 67,000 miles per hour while you orbit the sun.
With no seatbelt.
With no seatbelt, no helmets, no safety goggles.
So we're spinning around and around.
The U.S.
like
government hears about
and
this.
And we're going around.
Yeah.
And then there's three other ways we move?
Correct.
The galaxy moves, the universe moves,
The galaxy, we are circulating around the galaxy. We are orbiting the galactic center. It takes our sun approximately how long to orbit the galactic center?
32 million light years.
Yeah, a very big number.
Even that big number is not big enough.
Really?
Wow.
It's over...
Trillions
wild
of years.
Guess.
Not that. 225 million years.
Oh, you're right. I was way out of line with that trillion number.
Hey, any astronomer or mathematician listening, million and trillion is two completely different numbers.
I heard that within 200 million years, the Earth's going to be dead anyway. What's going to happen? What will become of us?
Oh, we've got another 4 to 5 billion years before
the
sun goes nova, probably.
So I don't have to sell my stocks right now.
No, your stocks are safe. I will say, again, just for perspective, that means the Earth has orbited the galactic center 20 times, or the sun has since it's formed. That was kind of a surprising number.
And I need GPS to find a mall.
I don't even know how to work GPS. Yeah. I'm still going down 2 blocks to the light and turn right kind of a guy.
How do you do that?
I don't know. But you know something? There was a study done on murdered women.
Uh-huh.
And it was... amazing amount of them had the exact same last words before they were killed.
And that.
Why don't you stop and ask for directions?
You should be saving this gold for your extra credit points, Dr. Graham. I will just put it out there that there's at least one other way the Earth is moving right now, as we said here.
So we got
And that is...
The galaxy is moving through the universe.
Correct. We are floating through the universe.
Well, the universe might be floating around something else.
It is moving in relation to the epicenter of the Big Bang, but I don't know if we're technically rotating around it or not. That is correct. The speed at which our galaxy is moving through the universe is over 2 million miles per hour.
Who measures that?
There's people whose whole job it is to just measure that, I assure you.
Well, once you have it down, I mean, what else do they do?
Yes. Fine-tuning.
Yeah.
Collecting their pension. So, it just goes to show, if you add all of these movements together, even though you, relatively speaking, feel like you're just sitting there in that chair, you're actually moving at quite a speed.
I do want a seatbelt now.
Yes.
I feel like I need one.
There does seem something slightly psychedelic about the whole proposition, doesn't there?
Indeed. We should all be in helmets.
Yes, okay. We should all have safety helmets on.
I used to own a restaurant. Remember when Skylab was falling?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
We had all the help wearing hard hats.
It's just common sense.
The customers were on their own, but help all had hard hats
on. And you go outside and look up like it would help.
Yeah.
If I see it coming, I'm ducking.
All right, well, this is the part of the class where I calculate your final grade, but while I'm doing that, I'd like to give each of you a chance to bolster your grade with extra credit. And so any information, trivia, wisdom you'd like to share with the students at home, now is your opportunity. Who would like to go first?
I would like to answer the question with a question, which I know is not, but since we're kind of open atmosphere, I would just like to ask a question in history. Mm-hmm. Who was the man... when the British invaded and started the revolution, that jumped on a horse and rode through 5 states from Massachusetts down to New York, warning people that the British were coming and to be prepared?
Well,
gentlemen, can you answer Dr. Graham's query?
I can tell you who it wasn't. It was not Paul Revere.
Yeah, I thought it was a trick question. Right.
He stopped at Harvard, as a matter of fact.
I think I've heard the other guy's name, but I cannot remember.
Dr. Graham, do you know the other guy's name?
Israel Bissell.
Israel Bissell.
And the reason that Paul Revere got all the credit is because the guy was writing the poem. He said, let me see. Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere.
Yeah, boom.
Listen, my children, with a wink and a whistle. Let me tell you about Israel Bissell. No, Paul Revere gets that.
He shot through the streets just like a missile.
Well, we could have probably done something with it, but this guy was in a hurry. But
that guy gave up.
Okay.
That
was my contribution to the group. Israel Bissell was the guy who warned the country that the British were coming.
Chili and Jeff, top that.
Wow.
What do you got, Jeff?
I'd just like to say at this point that I think there's been some confusion or something because I did not receive a copy of these questions in advance like I saw in that movie.
I'll go with that. I'll second that.
Oh, here. Well, here's my copy.
Because quiz show was fake, and this show is real.
Oh.
You mean the quiz show on the quiz show was fake?
Yes.
The quiz show was real. That showed what really happened. But the show within the show, which was the real show, was in fact Charles Van Doren.
But the quiz show about the quiz show was a fictionalized account of the quiz show. So it was a fictionalized version of real events show.
I will not remember that. I don't know who said what behind closed doors, but I remember when that happened. It was big news. I'm sure Chili remembers too. I think you're too young. But
give him 5 more of your points,
Five
Jeff.
More of my points. Okay. 10 points.
We just turned quiz show into Inception.
But you want to know something? But I think can I say one thing about quiz show? Real shows, the real guys that were supposedly duplicitous people. Most TV shows are scripted. Most TV shows, whether it's Ozzie and Harriet, Leave It to Beaver, Al Bundy. Here was a show that was actually in making kids enthusiastic about learning. Charles Van Doren became a role model. Kids were going to their books. They didn't have to be Johnny Unitas anymore. The kids that maybe were as athletic, they made Charles Van Doren a cool guy to be. It was cool to get straight A's. It was cool to study. And when they demonized him, I think it really hurt the country. I think it was a silly little TV show. I think you should have left them alone and let them let the people be entertained and have an intellectual. Because, you know, I used to be not tough when I was a guy. I got tough later in life. They used to beat me up all the time and take away my lunch money. And the guys that beat me up, they liked to eat at Mancy's. So I had to work 2 jobs to get them. But that's just an opinion I had. I've had people disagree with me. But it was a TV show, so it wasn't real. But I thought it had a positive Charles Van Dorn was my hero too. And then when I found he was a phony, I was disappointed. But just an observation.
Chili, some extra credit for you, sir?
Well, we'll go in the history theme. It'll be easy for some people. But who was the first host of The Tonight Show?
Well, we'll let the younger Jeff Gettert try to answer.
I'm going to say it was Jack Parr.
Dr. Graham?
Steve Allen.
Steve Allen.
Okay.
All right, so we both get 10 points. Yeah.
Well, actually...
Right. I answered the question.
Actually, Dr. Graham
We're
has
spinning
been...
spinning around like a million miles an hour.
Yes, I'm getting dizzy.
I might fall. There's a lot of gravity.
But Jack Parr was a good answer. He's close.
Dr. Graham has been bogarting everybody else's extra credit points.
He's been the show.
He's
the show.
I think we've already selected a winner.
Should have just called yourself the show.
I want you to say that I respect you guys so much for your talent and your ability to entertain people. I am inebriated with your magniloquence.
And,
what?
For an extra 20 points, 10 for each of those words you just used.
Yeah, there you go.
The winner of today's Golden Banana is Dr. Jerry Graham, the world's most highly educated professional wrestler emeritus.
You're still in the world.
And that just leaves it for me, your host, to thank you, my students, Jeff, Chili, and Dr. Graham.
Thank you.
Gold Star Classroom is written and produced by Jerry Jaffe. Our producer and engineer is Stephen Gutierrez. Original music composed and produced by Jeff Gettert. Mr. Gettert is also our assistant producer. All commentary and opinions expressed by guests of Gold Star Classroom are meant for entertainment purposes only. For Gold Star Classroom, I'm Jerry Jaffe.